What's up, everyone? Today's episode is brought to you by Bingetown TV's first official sponsor, Riverside. Before getting into today's episode, let me tell you about their amazing platform. Our podcast has been going strong for the last 4 years, and while we've experimented with many different video recording softwares, nothing compared to Riverside for all of our meeting and content creation needs. They completely changed the quality of our audio and video, and we'll never look back again. Riverside is everything you will ever need for content creation, including top-of-the-class features like auto-generated transcriptions, easy-to-use clip creation tools, video marketing, and much, much more. My personal favorite attribute of Riverside is their ability to bypass any poor internet connections as they record everything locally before automatically combining them together into a final product. The Riverside team are professional experts in their field, and they even have an entire library specifically dedicated to helping their user base master their tool called Riverside University. If you are podcasters, YouTubers, or simply just looking to upgrade your audio or video software for more casual chats with family and friends, Riverside is a must-have. You could try Riverside for free at riverside.fm, and you can use the promo code BingeTownTV, all one word, for 15% off. We'll leave you with the link and the promo code in the show notes so you can check that out. Once again, that is riverside.fm and the promo code BingeTownTV for a discount. Thanks again to Riverside for being an amazing service for our podcast and sponsoring this episode.
Woohoo!
Okay, the actual episode itself. This is going to be a first ever for BingeTown TV. If you're listening, we've in the past been known for doing random recordings of recommendation episodes or more famously our pitch towns where we're actually trying to convince others to watch a specific show. But this type of episode or this format, something new we're gonna try out. It's going to be called What You Watching. Pretty self-explanatory, free form. We're not going to have too much structure here, but it's really just a way for us to catch up and talk about shows that we're not doing the podcast on together. Maybe like soft pitches, some more criticisms than you'll normally see on some of these recommendations, because we're just going to all be brutally honest, see where it goes. And if we have fun doing it and it gets listens, we'll probably do more of these in the future. So I just did a bunch of talking. Does anybody want to start with something recently that they've been watching that they're dying to talk about?
I can start. I'm going to rip through some things, and this isn't what I'm going to deep dive, but I just want to mention this because I never get to talk about Grey's Anatomy on this podcast, so I think that this is a great place to talk about it. I'm on my Grey's rewatch, which is my millionth rewatch, but as everyone knows, season 20 is airing right now. So I think the way my Grey's Anatomy rewatches have gone on since I was a kid, because it literally started when I was in fifth grade, has been like I've seen maybe seasons 1 through 5 15 times, really, and then I've seen 1 through 10 10 times. And then once it gets later, I've only watched some of the later episodes like one time. So I'm on my season 16 right now. It's bleak, I will say. It does not hold up as much anymore. But because of the characters, like I still love them. They could go on for 1,000 seasons and I would watch them just sitting around. I really would. It could be a completely new cast of characters. And because they were in the hospital, it would be fine. So I wanted to tell you guys, I wanted to pitch this to you, how I watch this show, because I think you guys will think it's ridiculous. I like watch Grey's in like the small moments of my life. Like I'll be chopping something, I'll be doing something. Every time I shower, I put my phone on the back of the toilet and I have a glass shower. So I throw water, all my entire shower on the glass, so I'm able to watch through the shower to the back of the toilet.
And wait, so can you hear it or are you reading subtitles?
Oh, there's subtitles, but I'm blasting it because I also have to turn the fan on in the bathroom. So it's super loud in there. So I am like, sometimes I bring it in the shower and I put it on the little squeegee rack, but I've been trying to keep it outside so I don't ruin my phone. But anyway, how do you feel about this?
I don't think I've ever felt the need to do that for a show. Like I'll do it for a podcast. I'll throw on like a Bingetown TV podcast while I'm showering, but never a TV show. I don't think I've ever done that or considered doing it. Sounds like a great relaxation way though.
That's dedication. My first thought is, have you ever looked into investing in one of those phone pouches so you could just like prop it up in the shower, like something tailor-made to it?
That could be in my future. People have sent me like TikToks and things of that because they know that I'm throwing water on the glass so I can watch through it. But have you guys ever seen Grey's Anatomy? Like any of it?
No. And my question was going to be, does the whole community also feel the same way you do about you don't even care if the cast is just completely new? If a new season comes out, everyone's just watching it if you're a Grey's fan.
So I think everyone's in my camp where, you know, we love it still, but it's not great anymore. Like, there's three of the originals, and even Meredith basically left. So there's really only two of the originals, which are Bailey and Weber. And it's cycled through so many people. Like, some of the main characters that started in season five had stayed until 15 or 16. So they were actually on longer than some of the OGs, where people say, like, Izzy or George, like, those are their favorites. But it ended up, people who came in season five ended up being, like, staple characters that mean more to people than the people from the beginning. So it's a revolutionary show. It's fucking iconic. It's the greatest of all time.
What's funny is that the only two episodes I've ever seen, and I may have told you this in the past, if you want to use the word iconic, I've seen the, is it serial or the shooter?
The shooter in the hospital. Oh my God.
That's my only exposure to Grey's Anatomy. It was like the most intense thing I've ever seen. So I can see why you're so passionate about it, because that was a sad one and I didn't even have any context. But
yeah,
to be honest, I had no idea season 20 was airing right now. It's one of those shows that I know it exists, and I just am always surprised that it's still ongoing.
It's been around my entire TV going life, and I've always been like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm telling you, Grey's Anatomy was really good for a really long time, and they'll still hit beats. I mean, they still have 20 episode seasons, whereas it's so rare these days, right? They're a cable AB. They're still ABC's number one show. There'll be a few episodes in the season that rock your world. They'll go nostalgic. They'll bring back music that hit from like earlier in the seasons and stuff. They know how to still get you, and they'll throw money at it to get you. Like during the COVID era, they brought back McDreamy, who, spoiler alert, doesn't make it through, you know, the whole series. So yeah, they do a great job. This was, I didn't really mean to talk about it this long. I just kind of wanted to say I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Hot with Grey's Anatomy. How can you?
I know.
What you watching?
B-Tom's what you watching? I have actually had a pretty strong 2024 in terms of just binging all the content available. A couple rewatches. I know, Dave, you're on that Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch, but the thing that has stood out to me the most, and it's one I don't think we've ever talked about, is called Winning Time. It is on HBO, the artist formerly known as HBO, now Max. It is about the Showtime Lakers in the 80s. So essentially, it's two seasons. I get the feeling it got canceled in season two because they kind of had it set up to be continuous. And then the last episode, they give a slideshow of this is what happened in the next 8 years. But series starts out, Magic Johnson gets drafted in 1979 to the Lakers, who currently have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and a bunch of role players, but it follows him as probably one of the three main characters, and then the other main character is Jerry Buss. He was the man who bought the Lakers that same year, went all in on Magic Johnson, and pretty much turned them from a team that got the shit kicked out of them by Boston year in, year out, to a competitor, and kind of it follows the dynamics between the West Coast and East Coast, Magic Johnson playing for the Lakers and Larry Bird playing for the Celtics. But I think the thing that really got me, it's a sports show, obviously, but it's kind of like a period piece. It does a great job of taking you into the 80s. I was like loving how overly bombastic and how much they play up the drama between the characters, but all of these kind of characters are larger than life. I mean, Magic freaking Johnson, he was the man, and getting to see him, it's just like a very entertaining thing to have this period piece, whatever you want to call it. And I was wildly entertained as someone who likes basketball, was aware of the Showtime Lakers, but I had no clue how crazy it was. And the 80s were fun, man.
Dude, I just finished I just did The Last Dance for the first time, MJ's documentary on Netflix now. And I'm kind of upset that I didn't watch this one first, because it obviously would have played in right into MJ, like towards the end, tail end of Magic's career.
Well, I do want to highlight it is not a documentary. So it is like a dramatic.
Interesting.
Actors are playing the characters. They're following the character storylines.
Are any of the actual basketball players in it to make commentary at all, or not really? It doesn't work. It's not like that kind of show.
No, it's like a TV show. Yeah, it is not at all documentary. That's what I'm saying. Like I said, these characters were larger than life. They fit right in a dramatic TV show. And it's like funny, it's crazy, like people are having sex, they take you behind the scenes. It's just very interesting. I was aware of the story, but I didn't know like how nitty gritty it was. Paula Abdul, I didn't know that she was like the first Laker girl. That's how she got spotted. They made like the Laker cheerleaders from, I don't know, not what you would consider a cheerleader today. And this guy, Jerry Buss, just came in and was like, let's get bars in the stadiums. Let's like, honestly, lose some of the clothes on these cheerleaders. Let's make this experience. We got to sell basketball here. Like, get the people going. And he was like a Dr. Jerry Buss. He was like a playboy. It was just like these, I'm going to say it again, these characters were larger than life, but these real people were larger than life. Dr. J makes an appearance when they come to Philly, man. Are you kidding?
Oh, hey, that's sick. When did this come out?
Within the last 5 years, I do not have an answer, but there's two seasons, each 10 episodes, and it takes you through his rookie season and his second season. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a main character. Magic is a main character. Jerry Buss and his daughter Jeannie Buss are main characters. Jeannie Buss is actually the current owner of the Lakers. So it follows the story of the real people, and it's a really good, entertaining story.
I am so hooked when it comes to, even if it's like a dramatized scripted show based in reality, it makes it that much better when you're watching something, even if it's scripted, to be like, the fact that it actually happened, it's like, you can't write this shit, but you can. Like, it's so crazy.
Can I stop you right there? Because I also started watching The Crown, and it's the same.
Yes!
Well acted. It's like you just said, you can't write a better story. This shit happened. The political espionage that we think of in high fantasy like Game of Thrones, this is like not high fantasy. It's like politics. This shit, I don't know.
Yes.
It's crazy. It's a great show. I'm only one season in though.
I'm looking at the cast. It's got some pretty big names. I mean, Adrian Brody plays Pat Riley. I didn't know that.
Oh,
John C. Riley plays Jerry Buss. Yeah, I had no idea.
Jason Segel's in it for like a season and a half.
Oh, really?
Two seasons. Why am I saying that? Two seasons.
Oh, I'm looking too, yeah. I was like, Adrian Brody plays Queen Elizabeth. What are you talking about?
And so tell me, is there girl Darby in that The Crown, right? But maybe later?
Not yet.
Okay, so he'll get there eventually. Gotcha.
Yeah, she plays the youngest Princess Diana in season 4, I think she jumps in. So you've got a ways to go. But The Crown stays strong. Definitely dips at the end, but for the first 4 are so good. And Claire Foy, Elizabeth rocks my socks. Well, her sister, really, Vanessa Kirby, who plays Princess Margaret, really rocks my socks. But
that was a surprise one that came out of Pete Tom's mouth. Just through the.
I love that about him.
We're going to walk past pieces. It. Well, it's Masters of the Air that kickstarted the whole thing. So then I'm thinking 1940s. That naturally led me to The Crown. And hey, Winning Time, like I said, the 80s looked fun.
All right. What you watching, Dave?
Anyone who's like a diehard listener of Bingetown and listens to these episodes, they probably will not be familiar with my voice since I'm never watching anything. But this time I felt confident enough that I was watching enough outside of the podcast to hop on here. So I'll start off with House of Ninjas, which was on Netflix, which Luke Alki and I, as the roomies, watched together. It was something that we kind of just randomly found on Netflix. It didn't have any marketing to it whatsoever. It was just something that had popped up. And this was right before Shogun had dropped. So we were looking for something to kind of fill that void and kill some time, kind of like Japanese style, and kill some time before Shogun actually dropped. So we checked it out. And I'm going to be honest, it was good. I'll just leave it at that. It set itself up really well in the beginning. But the issue that I have with it is that it just was way too tropey by the end. Like, it became so predictable that like every major event that was happening, I was like, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Maybe one good twist throughout the whole series. I don't know about a season 2. I don't think people didn't consume it all that much. So I'm not even sure if it's going to have a season 2, but you know me, I'm always into the Japanese stuff. So I wanted to check it out on Netflix. It had popped up a little bit. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. And was a little disappointed with it, if I have, if I'm being honest.
Animated just or live action?
It's live action. To expand a tiny bit, I agree with you, Dave, everything you just said. Like, the first half was so hype. We were getting into it. We loved sitting down to watch it. And by the second half, we kind of predicted most of the things. So who knows if Netflix will keep going with it. But it is awesome to see, like, modernized ninjas. It's in a world where ninjas are kind of obsolete and they're trying to live normal lives, but they're using these ninja skills in really cool and interesting ways. And it's a story that kind of forces them back into the ninja world again and how they adapt. It's an interesting take on, like, a family that's dealing with this, but I don't know. It's not something I would super heavily tell people to watch until maybe season two comes around, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. It was something. We'll say that. It didn't fill the itch of Shogun, which obviously we all
could talk about that forever.
Have you been watching Shogun or something, dude?
How can I not recommend that to everyone that's listening right now? Still, I know we have the podcast.
Me neither. I'm so ashamed. It's because I was trying to finish Mr. and Mrs. Smith and I just can't finish it. I'm stuck and I have to finish that before I start Shogun.
I knew in the back of my head that you and B-Toms had not seen it. So I was like, we don't have to talk too much about Shogun, but House of the Ninjas was just something that I for any anime watchers, you could probably avoid it.
Whenever I'm off the podcast clock, I digest shows at my own leisure, Dave. Sometimes I binge, sometimes I just leave it on the back burner, baby.
Give Dave another one here, because you caught up on a pretty big series that I know Kathleen, Brian, and myself have seen.
I didn't even think about this because it's been a little bit, but yeah, I haven't, I guess, really told many people, but yeah, I finally caught up in Stranger Things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I was stuck on, I think it was the start of season three for so long. Like, I binged, obviously, season one came out and, like, obviously, like everyone else, watched it when it came out, loved it. But then season two came out and people were very down on season two. And as someone who loved season one, I was like, this is going to ruin my vibe. So I didn't watch it. I just kept delaying and delaying and delaying. And then all of a sudden, you know, the season four is what we're on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Came out and everyone was like, oh my God, best season of Stranger Things yet. So I was like, okay, finally have to get back into it. Finished season two and for whatever reason, put it down and just took forever to pick it back up. But finally made it through seasons three and four. And I have to say season four was definitely, I get the hype of season four, at least. I loved it. It was definitely my favorite season. Season three was okay. I would probably still put season two above it, I think. It's close. But honestly, I'm kind of back on the Stranger Things train. I'm excited for the final season. I'm glad that it's not going to be like a 7-8 season show. It's just coming up. It's coming down to the end right now. And I like it a lot. And it's going to be weird, though, seeing them return in this final season as, like, full-on adults, basically.
Adults, literally. Yeah.
But honestly, pretty good show.
And B-Toms, you've seen season four, right?
I have, yeah. That or season one is the best. I like me some season three is probably my hot Stranger Things take. But
to be honest, a hot take that I might have is, I don't know the actor's name, but who plays one? Whoever that guy is might have been low-key my favorite performance in the entire show up until season
Can't remember. I have to rewatch the whole series.
Yeah, but whoever that guy is, basically the villain of season four, I think his performance was probably the best in all of Stranger Things.
You remember all the flashbacks, Kathleen, with Eleven and her?
Oh, yes, of course.
The big reveal of the entire series. I was kind of stepping away from dancing around. I don't want to necessarily.
How about Eddie playing the guitar?
Oh, I mean, come on. I had to watch that scene like multiple times when it happened. I was like, that was just the coolest thing ever. And I'm excited to see him in
Fantastic Four's Human Torch. Yeah.
Well, okay. Excited is maybe not the right word. I'm interested to see how he does in Fantastic Four, because I only picture him with the long hair being a high schooler rocking out. So we'll see.
He's in the prequel to A Quiet Place as well with Lupita Nyong'o, I want to say.
That's the
one that didn't come out yet.
It's A Quiet Place. It might be out in theaters right now, but it's like A Quiet Place day one. So
shows the
attack. Okay. The good stuff.
Are there only one and two out and then the prequel? Is that how it is?
I think the prequel is being shown as previews for Dune, so I don't think it's out yet.
You know what the worst thing is? I went to A Quiet Place with like such a crowded theater and everyone was just crinkling bags of popcorn and ripping open bags of licorice and shaking boxes of fucking Reese's Pieces. And I was like, everyone shut up. It was like every little creak in the room. I was like, I'm going to kick some little kid's ass.
You have no idea, because I saw it with my ex-girlfriend in theaters and we had some edibles beforehand and we were a fucking mess. Oh my God. Of course, she's like, all right, we're going to order Chipotle and bring it into the theaters. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm pretty hungry. I'll do that.
You're a savage.
She brings a fucking bag of chips. Oh, so she's crinkling the fucking bag, just like housing Chipotle chips as a quiet place. No one's speaking, obviously, because the movie is silent, essentially. And like, oh my God, I had to go up to pee and my flip-flops were just like sticking to the floor. I was like crying laughing in the bathroom because I was just like, this is too much for me right now.
I'm pretty sure you two were in my theater.
It was just, and honestly though, the movie itself was actually pretty good. I was surprised because I really liked the first one and I had lower expectations for the second one. There was like one or two scenes that I thought were whatever in the second movie, but I'm excited to watch how it starts, honestly, the prequel. It's a shame though about the couple, fucking what's their
I don't know if that's true about
is it not true?
Emily Blunt and John Krasinski.
And John Krasinski,
there's rumors
they split
Twitter or not. They were together at the Oscars though, so I don't know.
No, they love each other.
Yeah. I want to believe that as well, but there were like murmurs that something had happened. Mm-hmm.
That can't be true. Luke, what you watching? Distract me from that heartache.
I'm going to give you a quick hitter with a movie, and then I'm going to give you two things I want to talk about for a second. The first is just a movie that I saw, I think at this point, like 3-4 months ago. I don't even know if it's in theaters anymore, but I wanted to mention it. I really enjoyed Zac Efron's The Iron Claw, which is based on that true story about the wrestling family a couple decades ago that got famous in America. But it's just one of the most emotional I've been about a movie in recent memory. And just shout out Zac Efron, amazing. Chef Jeremy Allen White killed it. And then our boy from A Murder at the End of the World, Harris Dickinson, was also in it. So it was just an all-star cast. They all killed it. And then the co-lead for Mindhunter, not the main younger guy, but the older guy, he is also the father in that movie. And everybody just had an amazing performance. If you haven't seen that one, grab some tissues and go watch it, because it's definitely worth it. And B. Toms or Kathleen, have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't.
Not yet, no.
Yeah, definitely worth it when it's like out on everything, HBO and stuff. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. I would have felt bad not, because it was such a good movie. For the two shows that I wanted to mention here quickly, the first, I don't know if I know anybody besides Paul that has watched it, but he really enjoyed it. It ended a few years ago. I just finished binging Gravity Falls on Disney Plus. Which,
wow.
Yeah, this was like a super, super random decision that I made to just pick it up. It's two seasons, completely done. I think it finished like 4 or 5 years ago, around that time.
This is Matt Kelly's like favorite thing. He just binged it as well. And the last time we did something like this, he told me about it and he was like, you have to watch it. So what is your opinion?
So I thought it was amazing. Like, it is so meticulously crafted. Everything in the background of this seemingly cartoon for kids show is so important. And the second season, so it's split into two seasons. The first season is typical cartoon, like for kids. And what I mean by that, it's like a monster of the week. And the whole idea is that these two kids, these two 12-year-old twins, go to visit their great uncle during a summer. And it's just like a town that is marked by aliens and monsters and mysteries and all these crazy things going on. And the whole first season, I'm not going to lie to you, if you're an adult, it's kind of a hard watch. Like, it's a background watch, because it's really just showing different adventures. But the whole point is you're getting introduced to the different concepts, where the last two episodes of the season one start the plot, basically. And then all of season two is just go, 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 like really intense and well thought out plot, where you look back at season one things and like the answer to the whole show was there, kind of thing. Like, it's so well made, and it's basically Adventure Time, but just condensed to like a two season show that's just front to back so funny. Like, the characters are pretty unforgettable and there is childish humor in it, but there's also humor that I know for a fact little kids are not getting. It's not really meant for them. So it's one of those type of shows. So damn good. And I'm pretty sure, forget what the percent on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb, but it's like above 95.
It's one of those random shows, because I've stumbled upon it and meant to watch it. Have you ever watched Adventure Time start to finish?
I have seen 90% of Adventure Time, but it's been so long that I know all of that stuff, like all of the ending and all the spoilers and things, but it's like the same level of quality, same level of balancing between kiddish themes and like adult dark themes, because they do interweave those pretty well. Yeah. And it's just a fun show. Like, I would totally recommend it for Dave B. Times. I know you guys like Adventure Time. Kyle would probably really enjoy it. And I was just pleasantly surprised. I actually finished it yesterday, and it's just so well done. That's the biggest draw for it, is how meticulously created it is by the author or the creator, Alex Hirsch, I want to say.
I told Luke this when he was watching it, that I vividly remember being in college and like being in bed, just checking out Twitter and just, you know, what's trending, I guess. And Gravity Falls, when it ended, that final episode was all over my Twitter timeline. Like, everyone and their mothers was like, this is the best show. This is an incredible finale. Like, no other show is going to top this, yada, yada, yada. And that was like however many years ago, like 6-ish plus years ago about. And
first one was 2012.
And then there was a big gap, I think. Maybe it's
a, yeah. Oh, okay.
And it's a star-studded cast. I mean, Louise from Bob's Burgers plays the main sister. J.K. Simmons appears in season two. Like, they do have
Ron one Swanson's of a big character.
Yeah, like I'll see like TikToks of like voice actors that are like everywhere, and Gravity Falls characters always appear because their voice actors are just everywhere. So star-studded cast, and I'm definitely gonna watch it just based on how Luke perceives it, and I'm a big animated nerd, so.
And if you don't have the time to watch it all, there are a million guides out there of what's plot relevant in the first season. You can watch like 4 or 5 episodes of the first season and be good and get everything that you need, and then then you'll have to watch all of season two. But if you were looking for a time save shortcut, it's definitely worth watching, in my opinion. Anyway, I wanted to bring that one up real quick, and then another one that I finished a couple of months ago that I am now officially just, this is one of my top 15 shows of all time now. Little outdated here, but Mr. Robot, which is a 4-season completed show. I think it was airing mostly when 2016 was probably like the middle of it. So it didn't finish. It finished a couple years ago, but this show was amazing. It was everything that I kind of hoped it would be, where the premise, if you haven't heard of it before, is Rami Malek plays an awkward, hyper gifted coder. And the whole idea is that he's on the line between like being partially a criminal and being like a straight arrow. And like, he's in this world of coding. And the thing that really drew me in is you get to actually see what everybody knows what coding is, but seeing it be applied in like realistic ways. And this show gets praised for its use of coding and like the language that they use and how they use it in a realistic way. It was such a good show. And it's all about the conspiracy of the government, what's really happening in the world. There's different hacker organizations. It was a nonstop drama that I just, every couple of episodes, my jaw was on the floor. And the one caveat I will say about this show is, if you're going to go in to watch these 4 seasons, you need to commit to watch all 4 seasons, because at the end of every season, it almost completely changes your outlook, your hindsight view of what the prior season was. And that doesn't culminate more than in the finale season, where you actually, like, the whole entire show gets rewritten, basically, with like the reveals that happen. Just top tier television. I really stumbled upon it because I was just looking for a show to watch. It's near the top on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, any random recommendation sites or lists you see, Mr. Robot's usually there, and it's for a good reason. I'm extremely happy I watched it, and I will definitely be watching again. I think it's, like I said, like a top 15 show of all time for me now. It's a big commitment, 4 seasons, but any of you guys on the podcast, that if you guys sat down and decided to watch it, I'm pretty confident you're gonna walk away loving this show as much as I do.
You know, the actress who plays Dominique is Meryl Streep's daughter.
Ooh, I don't think I knew that.
My roommate wants to do a pitch down for Mr. Robot.
I'm sure he sold you on it a little bit.
On the pod. I didn't need much selling. I've seen it around. And Rami Malek seems like he's got that look about him that he would just fit into that role. And this show made him blow up. I mean, yep. He springboarded this into Freddie Mercury, and the rest, as they say, is movie history. But
so true.
Yeah, it's something that's been on my list and I just haven't gotten to, but hey, maybe I should. Maybe we need a pitch down, eh?
This is your sign that you should probably keep it on that list. Yeah.
Night at the Museum is what springboarded him into stardom.
Who's that Night at?
Rami Malek in
2005, whatever. He was like a soccer.
What was he playing?
I just looked it up, and it was so funny.
Is he like the mommy?
Like a guy on a horse?
I have no idea. Let me see. Not at the museum. Rami Malek.
Did he work at the museum, or was he part of the display that came to life at night?
He was King Tut, it looks
okay,
like.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I can kind of have a memory of him being like in the Egypt wing.
Oh my God, he looks so different.
let's call it that. This is probably going to be a two-part recording, so we're going to have another couple of recommendations what we've been watching, but it seems we each got some time there to talk through some of what we've been watching all outside of the podcast. Anybody have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Here's my pitch. Grey's Anatomy season one is only, I think it's 9 episodes. That's it.
Are they 30 minutes or hour?
42 minutes. Let me just confirm.
Some shows take a couple seasons to round into shape. Is the
No. Strong 9. I'd be so confident in saying if you guys watched the first 9 episodes, you'd be hooked on the show. The episode 9 finale has a mic drop that like rocked the world. It basically, Grey's Anatomy like paved the way, and it overtook ER as like the longest running medical drama of all time. It's just one of the greats. When it's the best, it's the best. So I would suggest the first few seasons are chef's fucking kiss. Yeah, seriously.
They call it a white women's One Piece is what I've heard. Longevity and quality. But that's, no matter how hard we pitch One Piece to you, Kathleen, are you ever going to read, what are we at, 1,100 chapters? Which I shouldn't.
I watched the live action, which was 10 episodes, so I think you guys owe me Grey's Anatomy 9 episodes, which is will be shorter because the One Piece episodes were like an hour, full hour long.
Turned.
You'll be ripping through them because they're so damn good. You'll be dying for that drama. You'll be saying, push one epi, clear.
All right, guys, on that note, we open Grey's Anatomy, we'll end with Grey's Anatomy, and that's going to be part one of our first What You Watching. This is going to be a two-part series. We're probably going to record right away, and so tune into our other episode, which should be coming out around the same time if it's not already out. But if you want to hear other things from Bingetown TV, come check us out on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's Bingetown TV everywhere you can find it. We cover all kinds of shows. We're doing Traitors. We're doing Invincible. We just did True Detective, Solo Leveling. We got The Boys, The Bear. We got all this in the chamber. We're a great time. Come check us out at Bingetown TV. And besides that, catch us on the next episode. We are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.